Make some noise for Jesus! Yes. It's about that time for you to be strengthened, amen. It's about that time that we've been waiting for. Now I want us as a Life Bible Church to welcome our mother, the mother of the house, Lady Pastor, Pastor Bumi!
And then the last one, the very last one on my announcement this morning is Lenyalo. Hey! 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 Hallelujah! 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 Amen. They just melt my heart. Where's their picture? Where are they? They just melt my heart. Hallelujah! Amen. Pastor Peter, Lady Pastor Nomuhle, next April, hallelujah. It's happening in April, hallelujah. They will be getting married, amen. And guess what? All of us are invited. Hallelujah. On the 18th of April, all roads lead to a life, Robecha. The 18th of April, it's a Saturday. Make a date. Diarize it. You don't want to miss this. Hallelujah. You want to see the very first wedding of the year 2020 at Alive Bible Church. This time, we will all be gathered together at Alive Robecha. Hallelujah. You are going to see the venue for the first time. You are going to meet the church for the first time. And you are going to see the first wedding of the year 2020. Multiplication. Multiplication. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are so excited about the move of God. Amen. We are so excited that they are young. Hallelujah. Pastor Peter and Lady Pastor Nomuhle, they are quite young. Amen. But they want to do the will of God. They want to honor God. And I want to challenge you, young men, young women, look up to them and determine with yourself that, ish, I heard that Lady Pastor Nomuhle has never been kissed. I heard that she's going to get her very first kiss at the wedding. Her first ever kiss. I want you to, if you're a young lady, wipe your mouth. Just wipe your mouth. Wipe your mouth. In case you've kissed some people, wipe your mouth. And from today, determine yourself that this mouth will never be kissed again. It will only be kissed by my husband when I say I do. Hallelujah. I will not be going around kissing and kissing and kissing. No more. No more. You see, the stakes are high. The stakes are very high. Hallelujah. We are not even talking about virginity. We are talking kiss, just the virgin mouth. Hey! Hey! Hallelujah. So if you are a young lady here, ne, and you are single, and you are trusting God, tell the brother, you've been kissing me too much for free for nothing. Tell him, whoa, whoa, bis, whoa, not anymore. You better put a ring on it. Hallelujah. Put a ring on it. No more kiss. Hallelujah. Are you excited, church? Yeah. I'm also excited. Hallelujah. It's going to be a good day. Amen. So all of us are invited to join our beloved couples as they say, I do. They make this covenant relationship together. Hallelujah. Amen. And once again, I just want to appreciate our pastor, Pastor Pascal, in absentia. Please, can we put our hands together for him? Yeah. Hallelujah. He's a great leader. Amen. Hallelujah. And then I want us to just, wherever you are, just put your bags aside, put your papers aside, whatever you had on your hands, and just lift up your hands to the Holy Spirit and begin to pray. Begin to pray in the Spirit. La brashta kamande le basta la ba, le monte re basta la ba, ante le brokoya la bala, ribohante le beste le manda la brokoya, ante le masta la baranta la bala, le brahanda la boshte, rikalamante le brokoya la bala, ashere mende le belende le brakaya, zebereshte le manda la balande le bala, karaba Open the eyes of our hearts, Lord.
Open the eyes of our hearts. We want to see. They said we must come and see. This morning we want to see. Somebody invited me today and said, come and see. I want to see. I want to see you. I want to see you. I want to see you. Kayasta la ma, lebreste le manta la brakaya, koremanda la baste, ribohanda la ba, kariante lebele, lebrahasta, le monte la brakaya la manda la basta. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Just play the strings for us there. Just play. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see. I want to see. With all your heart, tell him. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want. One more time. Open the eyes of my, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Ooh. Open the eyes of my heart. I wanna see you, Jesus. I want to see you. Again, say, open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart.
Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts. Lord, give us understanding. Give us understanding of your word this morning. Lord, speak to us. Lord, speak to us. Speak to us, oh God. Speak to us, oh Jesus. Speak to us deeply. We are your servants. We are your people, Lord. And we are your prisoner of love for life, oh God. Speak to us this morning. Speak to us, oh God. We want to see you. We want to hear you. We want to encounter you, God. Open the eyes of our hearts, oh God. This morning we are praying for a burning bush encounter with you, encounter with your word, a burning bush encounter with you, a burning bush encounter with your word. Speak to us, Jesus. Speak to us, oh God. Let your word come forth with power. Let your word come forth with strength. Let your word come forth with healing in this place. In Jesus' precious name, we bless you, God. Amen. Amen. Last week we learned about the importance of invitation. Hallelujah. We studied the reasons and we looked at the fact that most of us are at church. We are here today because people invited us. You are saying, I didn't come to church so I can be told that I need to do more work. I came to church so that I can be blessed. I want you to realize, child of God, that there is a blessing for you in doing the work of God. Hallelujah. And so we realized and we learned that Jesus himself, he found his disciples fishing after his death and resurrection. He found them fishing and he said, come, children. Hallelujah. And they knew that it is him who's calling unto them. In Matthew 11, 28, he says, come unto me, all ye who labor and are weary and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. This morning, I want you to know that the voice is still the same. The invitation is still the same. The call is still the same. Jesus is still saying, come, come. Not only that, but he says, will you help me? Will you help me reach out to them? Will you help me call them to come to me? Hallelujah. They are there. They are sitting watching TV. They are sitting doing laundry. They are going and doing shopping. They are doing brides. Will you help me? They are blinded. The God of this world has blinded their minds. such that they think that church is boring, church is for the uneducated, church is for the poor, church is for nobodies. They are blind. They see no value in coming to the house of God. They see no value in prayer. They see no value in seeking God. And so Jesus says, will you help me? Will you help me? Hallelujah. Will you help me call them? Call them. Hallelujah. I saw a video not long ago where, you know, Jesus was almost coming from heaven. And, you know, this is like a dramatization or animation of a video. But it's like the church was together singing kumbayas, nice songs. Bless me, Jesus, like we usually do. Hallelujah. But Jesus was outside the church. Hallelujah. And on a sea of people perishing. And he was trying to reach that one and trying to reach that one and trying to reach that one. But the church is like, oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you love me and my family and my children. I love you, Jesus. But he's outside the church. Hallelujah. He's outside the church. He's needing more hands. He's needing more people, more eyes, more ears. He's needing more feet. But we are together here cozily sitting. Oh, you know, it's a nice little fellowship. You know, we love it here, you know. It's nice to get to be together and pray together. But he's like, no, help me reach out to my people. I have saved you so that you don't live for yourself, so that you live for the one who came and lived his life for you and gave his life for you. Hallelujah. And so there is power. There is great value. There is great reward when you begin to make the mission of Jesus your mission. Hallelujah. And so this last week we also shared. I shared a little bit of my testimony, and many people came back and said, oh my goodness, that was my life. That's my life. Now you are helping me. One lady came to me and says, you know, I'm fighting that fight right now at home. Hallelujah. And because of your testimony, I'm able to know what to say when I get home. I'm able to know how to fight. Hallelujah. And so I want you to know that the message of the gospel is still the same today. And I want you to know that, you know, there is power in invitation. Before we go anywhere else this morning, I want to share with you a testimony that we received. How many of you want to hear a testimony? Hallelujah. I want to read to you a testimony. It's from a sister. She's right here. Hallelujah. She's right here with us this morning. She's a daughter in the house of God, a shepherd, a disciple maker, a leader of leaders, a pastor in the making. Hallelujah. A world changer. Amen. And this is somebody that could have been lost forever had it not been for an invitation. Hallelujah. I would have loved to give her the opportunity to share the testimony with you herself, but I think I'll just read it. Hallelujah. I'll just read it. Let me do as Pastor said we should do. Hallelujah. Let's obey. Amen. I'll do it as Pastor said we should do it. Hallelujah. So we are sharing this testimony all over our branches this morning because it's so timely. It's so divine. It's so of God. And so this morning she wrote and she says, good day, Pastor. I hope you are well and blessed. I would firstly like to appreciate you for all that you have done for me. My testimony is about how I got delivered from Satan powers after being invited to church. My testimony is about how I got delivered from satanic power after being invited to church. She says, before I came to Alive Bible Church, I have been having this problem which had to do with my family tradition, a call to become a sangoma. And this was really troubling me because I wanted to serve God, and at the same time, this calling of tradition kept haunting me down. And this sangoma calling thing has been haunting me for over 2 years, and I didn't know what to do about it. Then that's when Duncan invited me to ABC. Hallelujah. Amen. She says, then Duncan invited me to ABC. Hallelujah. Duncan, you see, you don't understand what your invitation is doing out there. Then Duncan invited me to ABC. And he not only invited me, but he did some consolidation on me as well. And that's when my journey with God started. I then started to come for counseling with you, which helped me a lot. And that is when you started to explain and unpack the situation I had. Because the view that I had about this perspective was way too different. But you made it more simple for me to understand. Then came Friday, the 6th of March. Prayer Mountain. Tell your neighbor, Prayer Mountain. Friday the 6th of March was 2 days ago, by the way. We're not telling you a testimony of some 500 years ago. We're telling you recent things. Hallelujah. Friday the 6th of March was 2 days ago. Friday. Hallelujah. Then came Friday the 6th of March 2020 at Prayer Mountain. I wonder, where are you when the people are praying? How are you spending your Fridays? What is so important than the prayer of your life, the prayer for your community, the prayers for your salvation? She says, as you were leading us to take communion, power of communion, you said anything that is not of God in us will be flushed out by the communion. That was the best day of my life because that evil force got flushed out. Hallelujah. I finally got my deliverance and I praised the Lord. Hallelujah. And she says, I would like to thank you for all your prayers and for all the things you have done for me. Indeed, I have felt your love towards me. I know it's too much, but still, your love and your care for me contributed a lot to my healing. You are really a blessing in my life. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. She's right here. Hallelujah. I don't know if you want to wave to the church. Amen. She's right here with us this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I want you to know that, you know, Pastor was explaining to me how because the spirits take over. What you don't understand is that these things are real. The satanic world is real. The spirit begins to manifest itself and take over a person's life. Pastor explained to me that it took about 20 minutes before there was a total freedom, a total release from her life. Hallelujah. And this came about when Pastor shared a testimony about how healing came in my own family. When my sister is on ARVs, I think all of us know, she shared the testimony with us. Hallelujah. But God delivered. There was a time in our lives when we thought she's gone, where we thought, because she was so skinny, you could see the bones, literally the bones on her body. I remember I walked into the hospital with my brother the other day going to check her. Hallelujah. And as we walked into the hospital, my brother was so strong, but when he saw her lying on that bed, matching almost as little as a small girl, my brother just fell down out of dismay, out of hopelessness. And then our pastor taught us that you need to begin to take communion with her. Hallelujah. From the moment we began to take Holy Communion with her, we partook of the bread and we partook of the cup. You see, when we're inviting you for prayer, you see, for Sunday services, we have communion once a month. But every Friday, there's communion. Whenever you come for Prayer Mountains, you are giving yourself an opportunity to commune, not just with your brethren, but with the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is power. And like Pastor was teaching here, that, you know, whatever was, you know, holding you strong, whatever was in you that is not of God is going to be flushed out. It got flushed out of my sister's life just by virtue of her partaking of the Lord's Supper. Hallelujah. And this was another Friday, like an ordinary Friday, like any other. And my dear daughter went into the church and she was praising. She never knew that today, as I go to the house of God, I'm going to receive my deliverance forever. She never knew that today, as I go into the house of God, I will encounter God and my life will never be the same again. Today she's been set free. Today she's been delivered forever. The strongholds of Satan has no hold over her life anymore. Amen. And so we want to encourage you to keep inviting. Don't miss church. Invite people. But also, don't miss it. And don't ever think that God has done enough for you. Don't ever think that, I think I'm fine. I know Genesis and I know Psalms. Understand that there's always a level that Jesus wants to take you through. There's always a dimension that Jesus wants you to reach. Hallelujah. So never ever think, always become like a child when you enter into the presence of God. Become like a child and say, Lord, I don't know. You know how messed up I am. You know the things that are within me. I was sharing here on Friday that, you know, how strongholds happen, how demons happen, is that once it's cast out of a person's life, when it goes into the wild wilderness. And then when it comes back to the person, it finds that the place has been swept clean, which means there is no new habits. There's no new practices, you know, of reading the word, of praying. You've been delivered, but that was the end. You stopped working on yourself. When the demon comes and he knocks again, he finds that, you know, you're swept clean. He goes and calls 7 more stronger. Hallelujah. And so understand, people of God, that the spiritual world is real. And the spiritual warfare is real. Hallelujah. And that's why when you say, oh, but you know, you saw, I'm hoping that as we are portraying these things and we are doing film stars, we can learn that sometimes you will be calling a person and they will be going like this. It's not them. When you're trying to reach out to them and invite them to the house of God, it's like, hey, don't tell me about church. It's not them. The God of this world blinds their eyes. And so you have to be willing to die to yourself so that God can use you. As long as you are full of yourself, you're going to get offended. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to hate them. You're going to call them. You're going to start labeling them. Oh, they are proud. The enemy wants you to hate them. He wants you to start labeling them. He wants you to leave them. Oh, you know what? I'm calling you so that you can come to church so that God can change your life. And here you are performing for you. Stay there. That's exactly where the enemy wants us to be. Hallelujah. That's why we cannot afford to treat them at the face value, to respond to them as they. We have to be patient. We have to endure. The key word that was used there was endure. I will endure. I will help Jesus. It's nice to come here. You see, church is a place where we can all come together and be imparted and receive empowerment. The Bible says you will receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So the proof that you have come to church, the evidence that you have encountered the Holy Spirit, is that you witness. You will be my witnesses in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. So it's not enough to just come to church and have a nice time. All of us has come here. You're thinking it's the job of the pastor. You're thinking it's the job of the singers. You're thinking it's the job of the ushers to invite people to the house of God. No, God has brought you here because God is counting on you. There are some people that Pastor Pascal might not see, that I might not see, that I might never even speak to, but you will have an opportunity to speak to them. There are some places that I don't even know of. There are some places I will never even be able to go to. But you have access into those platforms. You have access into those places. That's why you are here. When Jesus said that go, he didn't say a select few must go. If you love me, you will obey my commandment. When Jesus said that you must go, he didn't say those that have a singing voice must go. He didn't say those that are a little bit more keen on praying must go. He said all of you must go. Hallelujah. So the commandment, the commission to go is for all of us. It is for all of us. Hallelujah. The responsibility is upon all of us. It's nice to come to the house of God and sing and have a good time. But at the end of the day, when we come out of this place, there is a charge in our lives. There is a commission in our life. There is a commandment upon us. There is a burden upon us to go. Hallelujah. I'm not too young to go. And I'm not too old to go. Hallelujah. That's why old people must go. Young people must go. Because some old people that are unsaved, who are going to hell tomorrow if they don't encounter Jesus, can only connect with another old person. Some young people that are unsaved, who will go to hell, will only be able to connect with young people. If I go and I begin to mobilize a 12-year-old, I will scare them away. Like, all right. Hallelujah. Yes, they'll just say yes, 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 yes. But if you are a 12, 13, 14 and you speak at the age level, you are able to reach them and you are able to get them to the house of God. Hallelujah. The same way as there are some social classes. You're a doctor, you're in the house this morning. A doctor might not be able to respond to my invitation, but when you invite them as a doctor, they can come. Hallelujah. You're a learner. We are all different. And God has placed you where he placed you for a reason. God has given you the ability that he has given you for a reason. We are all different. We are all called to different places, different people. There's a match for you out there. A perfect match for you. Hallelujah. And when you get to heaven, you will find out that, hey, you know, I don't know why I found myself in Northwest Province. I used to work in Mpumalanga somewhere. But for some reason, they decided to shift me and move me to Northwest Province. And I didn't know. Meanwhile, the reason God brought them this close was because he knew that in Northwest Province, at Bojanala District, at Sun City, there is a church. And at that church, there is a man who's in the same field, who does the same thing. And if this man can become obedient to the voice of God, that man can reach that person whom God has brought from Mpumalanga. There are no coincidences in the things of God. You are not where you are today geographically by coincidence or by your own plan. God moves people around and he allows us to be moved around. Sometimes we're thinking we're moving for a better salary. Sometimes we're thinking we're moving for a promotion. Meanwhile, the move is for the eternity. Meanwhile, the move is for the restoration of your life. Hallelujah. You are never, that's why, you know, Pastor, when Pastor encounters and he meets with people that stays at Sun City, the first thing that he tells them is that, you know, and we've seen this happen a lot of times, and we pray for our community, Sun City, but people come together as a family, as a husband and a wife, before you know it, you know, the husband begins to be introduced some things, I get, or the wife, you know, and maybe they came on fire for Jesus. Maybe the wife was on fire for Jesus. Then the work keeps them busy. Then they have no time for God. Hallelujah. Before you know it, the other one is sleeping in that bed and that one is sleeping in that bed. Hallelujah. So there are no coincidences. God sends you and brings you to a place for a reason. Hallelujah. And so do not underestimate the power of your invitation. When you see our daughter Swangile now, she may look like everything is still the same on the outside, but she has changed completely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what you and I will never be able to see in people at face value when we see them. So don't judge them. When they throw your hands, their hands, like, be patient. When they say, hey, you're wasting my time. What church? What is that? Don't be patient. Extend yourself. Hallelujah. Amen, church. Are you blessed by the testimony? I'm also blessed. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. This morning I want us to read, and I'm going to be reading from my Bible. We're reading from the book of John 4. Amen. It's beautiful this morning. We're starting from the book of John 4, from verse 25. Technology has helped us. We thank God for technology. We are using it for the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and I know that on the screen we have it there from the New Living Translation, but from time to time, it's nice when we revisit the book. Hallelujah. When we go to the book itself. Hallelujah. I just want you to know, if you maybe you thought, is that the scripture? Is that even the Bible? What you see on the screen there is the real Bible, is the real word. Hallelujah. So we're reading from verse 25 of John 4, John chapter 4. The Bible says, the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Hallelujah. Jesus said to her, I who is speaking to you, I am he. I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus responds, I who speak to you am he. I am the Messiah. Hallelujah. We'll give you a little bit of context of this scripture as we proceed with the verse. Amen. And at this point, his disciple came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek, or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pots, went her way into the city, and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Hallelujah. Can we put our hands together for Jesus, for the reading of the word? Hallelujah. The first thing that I want you to know about this verse, especially from verse 25, is when you can circle the word Christ. He says, who is called Christ? Christ is the anointed one. Hallelujah. Christ is the anointed one. So he is the chosen one. He is the son of the living God. The woman says, I know he's coming. But little did she know that actually she had actually started already encountering the one who was to come. Hallelujah. And it's interesting because when I studied the whole passage, I realized in chapter 4, in verse 4 of chapter 4, Jesus said he was on his way to Galilee. Hallelujah. But he said, I must go through Samaria. Hallelujah. He said, I must go through, which means there was another way he could have gone to Galilee. Which means that there's another route he could have taken. But Jesus said, I must go through Samaria. Because at Samaria, there's a woman. At Samaria, there's a person who has potential to do my work. I must go through Sun City. I must go through Lidach. I must go through Patsima. I must go through Robeha. I want to come to South Africa. I want to go to Johannesburg. I want to touch and reach many nations, but I must via. Because this morning Jesus is saying, I must go through Alive Bible Church, Sun City. It says it's church all around the world. The saints of God, they are praising my name. They are celebrating. They are rejoicing. But this morning, I must go through Sun City. Because at Sun City, there are people, there are men and women who are potential mouthpieces for me. Because then the Bible says that after Jesus had the conversation he had with her, the woman left her water jar beside her. Hallelujah. He says, I see all the people all around. I see all the churches all around them. I see them praising me and having a wonderful time in my presence. And I love it. There's nothing wrong with that. But at Sun City, I see a generation and a people who are ready to leave their water jars. Who are ready to leave whatever they got. So that they can go tell more people about me. Hallelujah. And so when you study the passage, you will realize that actually the world that this woman was in was the well of Jacob. Was the world that Jacob had dug a long time ago. And so this is a place where many people knew that, you know what, when all else fails, if I'm hungry, if I'm thirsty, I will go back to the well that our great-great-grandfather Jacob dug for us. And I will go take some water there and I will console myself. Little did she know this woman, because at this moment, when you study the chapter, you realize that Jesus began to tell her everything about her. He began to ask her, where is your husband? And the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you are right. You have no husband. Even the one that you are with is not your husband. Even the one that you are with is not your way at the well. Which means that Jesus sensed trouble. Jesus knew that I need to rescue. When I can rescue this one, she will be my mouthpiece and help me rescue 1,000 more people. So let me focus here. Let me go through this area. Hallelujah. And she went there and she found her. He went there and he found her and he said, you are right. You are telling the truth. You have no husband. The one that you're with is not yours. Hallelujah. And after the woman, now her eyes began to open. Hallelujah. Now she began to realize that, my God, my God, my God. I thought I'm standing with a Jew here. And previously I knew that the Jews are not supposed to associate with the Samaritans. But hey, looks like this is the Christ. I think this is the one. So as soon as the disciple came and they were marveling and wondering why is he standing talking with her, she decided to leave the jar. Hallelujah. She decided to drop it. I know a man. I know many men in the scripture, in the Bible. But I want to share with you about one. His name is Paul. Hallelujah. Paul was a persecutor of the church of Christ. Paul used to beat people up for calling on the name of Jesus. He used to encourage. Paul was one of the witnesses when Stephen was being martyred. You know what is to martyr? It's to kill somebody through stoning. Hallelujah. And so Stephen had been preaching up or talking about the name of Jesus Christ. And he began to share the scriptures with his persecutors. And they began to get so mad and to gnash their teeth at him. And they began to throw stones at him to kill him. And as they throwing the stones at Stephen to kill him, the Bible says his face began to shine like an angel. Amen. And then he began to say, I see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Father. Guess who was there during that situation? It was Paul, Brother Paul. By then he was called Saul. He was watching. Yeah, stone these people, these blasphemers. These people that say that they know Jesus, that Jesus Christ is Lord. Stone him, kill him. Hallelujah. And so afterwards he, you know, the Bible doesn't, there's no record of Paul throwing a stone at him, but he encouraged it. He condoned it. And so while he was going with his people, the people that he used to work with, killing people, killing believers, killing Christians all over the area, while he was moving, the Bible says on the road to Damascus, as he was riding on his horse, this is now Saul, he's riding on his horse, they are going, he's received permission, he's received letters of approval from the Pharisees that, you know, go and arrest everybody that's calling on the name of Jesus. Wherever there's church, go and close those churches down. Go stop the taxi drivers. Go. He's received that permission. So he's on the horse, he's going. This is Saul, he's going. Hallelujah. While he was on the horse, the Bible says a light shone through him and struck him, and the voice came from heaven, and he says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Hallelujah. And while he was on the floor, not only did he hear the voice, but all those people around him heard him. Amen. And so he said, oh, what would you have me do, Lord? What would you have me do, Lord? This is the scripture references in Acts 9. You can have a look at it at home in your own time. But he said, what do you want me to do? The moment he encountered Jesus, the second question he asked was, what do you want me to do? I know you are born again. But you cannot be born again and remain a normal church person. You can't be born again and remain comfortably coming to church Sunday in, Sunday out. I worry about your conviction. I worry about the encounter that you had. Because this woman encountered Jesus as the well. And when she encountered Jesus, the Bible says she dropped the jars and she ran. Paul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. When he encountered Jesus, he said, what can I do? An encounter with Jesus will call you to action. You cannot have an encounter with Jesus and remain the same and want to push the same things, fighting for money, fighting for cars, fighting for houses. You can't. Hallelujah. I was at home and I was on my way to work and I was singing the songs, it's you I live for every day. It's you I live for every day. And then I remember the voice, I think it was the voice of Jesus. And he says, really? Is it me you are living for every day, Pumi? Is it me you are striving for every day? Is it me you are pushing for every day? Or is it really yourself? And I began to repent. Lord, I'm living for myself. To be honest, I'm living for myself. I'm fighting for my next level. I'm fighting for my next position. I'm trying to prove myself at work. I'm trying to work hard. I come in early. I leave late so that my managers can see my work and promote me. I'm trying to show. I'm living for myself. I'm trying to make a name for myself. Yes, when I sing a song, I say it's you I live for every day. But in reality, it's not you I live for every day. Every day I want people to recognize that I'm a false man. I'm making changes. Is it you I live for every day, Lord? Is it really you I live for? When I come home 8 o'clock at night and I know that I was supposed to read scripture for my children and teach them the ways of God, but I don't. Because I'm trying to make a name for myself. Because I'm trying to prove myself. Because I'm working towards my next level. I gotta get that promotion. I gotta be lifted up. And therefore, I need to work hard. There's nothing wrong with working hard. As long as your motives of working hard are not for yourself. Who are you living for?
Have you really encountered Jesus Christ? How come it's so easy to just turn a blind eye on a Friday prayer mountain service? How come it's just so easy to say, I'm not going to church today? No, I'm not going to church today. But why? I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like going to church today. Are you born again? Are we born again? Are we really born again? Have we really encountered Jesus? Or did we just come here and say prayers like everybody else? Are we truly born again? Could it be that we will also enter in and stand on the queue and hope that we will see that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then we find that our names are not there? Because we were born again by words and by songs we were singing in church, but the heart was unsaved. The heart was unconverted. Because true proof of salvation calls you to action. We cannot be saved. We cannot encounter Jesus and continue living for self. Anybody that ever encountered Jesus Christ forsook all. They forsook all. They left it. They abandoned it. Because my eyes have opened. I see what matters. I see what's important. I see what really counts. I thought driving a nice car counts. I thought having a nice position at work counts. I thought having nice shoes counts, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. Are we born again? Are we saved? How come we're silent? What have you done? What have we done since we got born again for Jesus? What have we contributed since we got born again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? What have we abandoned? Peter said, Jesus, Peter was married. Can I tell you, Peter had a wife. Peter, you know how he died? He died, he was crucified upside down. The only reason he was crucified upside down is because he said, I cannot be crucified the same way Jesus was. I'm not worthy. But this was a husband. He had a mother-in-law. The Bible says one time Jesus went in with him and prayed for the mother-in-law who was sick with flu. He was a married man, Peter. He had responsibilities too, but none of it came before the call of Christ. None of it was more important to him than the calling of Jesus Christ, than the work of Jesus Christ. What's our excuse? I have a job, I have children, I have this, I have that. Really? Have we really encountered Jesus? Did we really have an encounter with Jesus? Because the evidence of a true encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ is that our lives change. We no longer live for ourselves. We no longer live to please ourselves. We no longer live to fulfill our own missions. Our greatest mission is to do the will of our Father who sent us. Jesus said, when the disciple came to him and they said to him, eat something. My master, you haven't eaten. He said, my food is to do the will of the Father who sent me. My satisfaction. You see, once we have encountered Jesus Christ, our full satisfaction comes from knowing that we are doing the will of the Father. Our fulfillment, our greatest fulfillment is that we are doing the will of the Father. It means that when people are sleeping, I'm praying. I'm praying for the salvations of soul. Lord, it's no longer just a thing that I'm doing because the church, they say we must do it. I really care about people. I really care that they shouldn't perish. I really care that they should know the gospel. I really care, and I really worry that I'm not saying anything. That the more I'm saying nothing, the more I'm hearing that this one is dead. Another one is gone. Next week, I'm burying another one. Oh, where are these people going as they are dying? Where are they going? I worry, Lord. I've been saved. I've been saved. I had the message, but I have never done anything about it. I'm concerned. I have a burden in my heart. Why am I so silent? Why am I not talking about you? Why am I not preaching the gospel? I'm really worried, God. I'm too quiet. And the more I keep silent, months go by. Then I hear a neighbor is gone. A friend is gone. And I still move on and I still have church as usual. How come I'm not moved by that, God? How come I'm not moved by the awareness that even myself, I'm not here forever? Even I am going. How come that is not bothering me? How come there's not eternity in my mind? I'm living for now. I'm living for here. I'm living to show off, to be respected, to get the applause of men, so that when I walk around, people step aside. Yes, I've entered. Yes, respect. Where am I going to be when I'm no more here on earth? Where am I? Where will I be? What place am I going to take when I'm no more here? Will he even say he knew me? It's powerful because we saw it on the film this morning that Jesus will say, I never knew you. Lord, I used to come to church most. You know I was busy. I work hard for my children. I'm a mother. I'm a single mother of five. You know, somebody has to get the job done, Lord. So whenever I got an opportunity to go, I'll go, you know. But you understand. Does he? Does he really? Hallelujah. So the reason we come to church is not about us feeling nice and warm and fuzzy. Hallelujah. It's not about us. We need to realize that it's not about us. It's not about us. It's bigger than us. Hallelujah. It's way bigger than us. Souls are perishing. Souls out there are perishing. Right now, you will see they're passing right here, right on this street. Why are we not stopping them? Why are we not persuading them to come into the house of God and hear the message and receive salvation for their souls? They're all over the garage there. Some of them are sitting. I'm telling you, some of them is sitting like this by the corner. They're just sitting like this. They're just there. They could have spent the time in the house of God. Some of them are, I don't know, they're sitting there having walks. I don't know what they're doing. Doing nothing. Hallelujah. So God has called us for a charge. He has called us into this place to charge us, to give us a charge, to say that the proof, the evidence of your salvation is not that you speak in tongues more than everybody else. The proof of your salvation is not that you dance or you sing more than everybody else. The proof of your salvation is that souls are being saved. Is that this burden is your burden. Paul said to him, Jesus, what would you have me do? You cannot encounter Jesus Christ and remain the same way again. And continue your life as if you haven't. Maybe you haven't. And maybe that's why you're here today. Hallelujah. Maybe you thought you did. Like I thought I did. But honestly, if you really did, would you carry on living your life the way that you are living? If you really did encounter Jesus, would you be silent? Would you be even bothered about what people think? If you really, do you think this woman cared? When she went like a mad person, the Bible says she ran. Like a mad person, she ran back. The woman left her water jar beside the way and ran back. This is what an encounter with Jesus will do for us. Is that it will cause us to run back to the villages where we come from, to run back to the people, to the places where we come from. And so maybe the reason I haven't ran back is because I haven't really had an encounter. So this message is not for your neighbor, it's for me. Hallelujah. I hope that you're not sitting here and wishing that I wish this person had been here today. No, it's for me. Sometimes we sit in church and we hope that another person was in church to hear this message. Meanwhile, you are the right person to receive this word. Meanwhile, you are the relevant person. Hallelujah. All you have to do is invite. All Jesus wants us to do is invite. For now. For now. Reach out. When we talk about outreach, we're talking about reaching out. And outreach is about going out there to reach them, to pull them in. Hallelujah. So that the house of our Father may be full. Amen. And so it's not to condemn us. It's to encourage us. It's not to beat us up. It's to awaken us. It's a call to wake up. It's a call to action. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has allowed you to come to the house of God this morning so that he can call you to action. Not so that you can feel guilty. Guilt and condemnation will not do you nothing. Amen. It's just like worry. They say that it's like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do but gets you nowhere. Hallelujah. So that's what guilt and condemnation, you have something to do. You are feeling bad. It's not to make you feel bad. When the Lord sent me this word, when the Lord speaks to me the way that he speaks to me, I don't sit and feel bad. I repent. And repentance means I change my ways. It means I look out for opportunities to be a blessing to others. When the Lord blesses me, like he blessed me tremendously during this week, the first thing that comes to my mind is, Lord, who do you want me to be a blessing to with these? Because now I'm beginning to think eternity. I'm beginning to think others. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you can invite someone. Look at the one behind you and tell them, you can invite someone. Hallelujah. Let's all say together, we can invite people. Let's say it together, we can invite people. Hallelujah. Yes, we can. It's possible. Amen. It's possible to live in a community where 99%, even 100% of the people there are believers of Jesus. It's possible. Ask of me and I will give you nations. It's possible to go into a community and see every satanic altar, every place, incantation, whatever it is, shut down. Because Jesus has entered a city. When a church of God comes into a place, the gates of hell are lifting up. Amen. So that the King of Glory can come in. So I see the gates lifting up in Sun City. I see the gates of the gates are lifting up in Lidak. They are lifting up in Patsima. They are lifting up in Chaneng. They are lifting up all around that the King of Glory may come in. Hallelujah. And you and I are gonna do just that. We're not too young. Neither are we too old. We are just the right people. So why are you ashamed? Why are you too careful? Hallelujah. Why do you worry about what they think about you? Amen. Can we all bow our head right now and close our eyes? Thank you, Jesus. Church, can we all stand up on our feet this morning and put our hands together for Jesus? He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've lifted up your hand for any of these two altar calls, I want you to take your belongings and come stand right here with your hands lifted up. You can put your belongings on the stage and lift up your hands to Jesus as a sign of surrender. Church, encourage them as they are taking those first steps. Encourage them. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands to Jesus. Raise up your hands to Jesus. Surrender to him. Surrender your life to him. Come on, church. Let's encourage them. Jesus, I just want to encourage you to just lift up your hands very high as a sign of surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to use your imagination and see the Son of God, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, and see him carry all your burdens, see him carry all your sins. The power of God is in this place. There is a move of God in this place. People, somebody's about to encounter Jesus this morning. And church, I want you to help me pray with them. Hallelujah. And also, all of you, repeat after me. Say with me, dear Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you today. I believe you died for me. On the third day, you rose again that I might be justified. Right now, I believe that my sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I am saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name.